403, thank you. Please be seated. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Our MVP is almost reached to the end. And we think most of you can stay until almost the end of the MVP. MVP is not only for project. It's also for us to learn how to serve. Serve as a team. And also in the process, how do we really serve from the bottom of our heart, because we are not forced by anybody to be here, right? We come here all because we are volunteer. And through this kind of spending time together, we can gradually build up a good tradition of servitude in TJC in USA. We hope this good servitude can spread around in your local church. We thank God that the coordinator and those who are in charge of all different projects are so responsible and has set a good example. So it makes possible that the MVP has gone through so smoothly. And may the Lord Jesus Christ remember all their love, dedication, and sacrifice to make this gathering so rememberable, so nice. And there are a few things I would like to share with you. First is Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 11. chapter 4, verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. And start from 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And then verse 10. If they fall, and one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one. To help him up. And 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. These few verses emphasize two are better than one. Most often, this has been quoted for marriage. Yes, two are better than one in the heavenly journey. If we have the gift of being single, of course, it's good to be single. You have no entanglement of family. But I think most of us, we don't have the gift of being single. When you reach time to of marriage, you can marry. It's a blessing too. But we have to remember, in the spirit, our life is not only a physical journey. This is a spiritual journey. Two are better than one. If we have a spiritual companionship in our spiritual journey, that's far better than we walk in the journey alone. So when you are facing so many different decisions, the most critical decision is marriage. It's more critical than your school, more critical than your work, your job. Because that will affect a few decades after we make a decision. That even will affect your eternity. Because if we marry a non-believer, we are alone. Sometimes we are weak. The one so close to you cannot encourage you. Sometimes you are heavily burdened spiritually. The one who are close to you cannot share your burden. When you fall down, the one who close to you cannot lift you up. So we are fighting the fight alone. We are travel the journey alone. That will be very difficult to complete the journey. But before we have the marriage, I think very important is in the church you have to build up some kind of spiritual companionship. So that we can live a spiritual life very successfully. I know some of you, when you come here, you behave everything very wonderful. Why? Because this is a group life. Everybody come here with a purpose to serve. And there's a schedule. Everybody go according to the schedule because this is a group life. And we pray together, we encourage each other, so your life become normal. And you can read the Bible, you can pray. But the problem is, after you go back, you don't have that kind of schedule. Nobody try to enforce any kind of regulation to you. Then we become our own master. We have to control ourselves. That is a problem. So after we go back home, gradually we just slide backwards to become our older self. And then we lack that kind of habit for spiritual cultivation. We lack that kind of habit to be closer to God. So our heart is not fulfilled spiritually. Once our heart is not fulfilled, we start to feel boring, empty, meaningless. And then we start to indulge in pursue mass media. And then the game over the internet. And get addicted, hooked. So this is a very, very difficult situation. So how can we build up a spiritual relationship among the same age people, and we can support each other? Right now, the communication is so easy, right? Through the internet, through the iMessage, through the Facebook. It's so easy to get connected. And instead of use that mass media for sharing something not really beneficial to anybody, right? Well, why not we use that that good communication channel to be more productive spiritually, really get connected and guide each other in more positive pursuit. Now, right? Mass media, it provides us a lot of convenience. It can be good, it can be bad, all depends on how you use it. Since we have so convenient tool, why not let us use that to help each other to grow spiritually? So I hope that after we develop a very close relationship, each of the team member in the lunchtime, the dinner time, I saw a lot of you pray together, even fasting prayer. That really a very touching. That is the indication you already have some kind of spiritual bond built up while you are serving together. And that bond is so precious. And that bond can help us to grow spiritually. At least can help us to sustain the temptation from the world. If we look into the book of Daniel, you can understand why Daniel was able to be different in that generation. One of the reasons, because he has companionship. Let's look into the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the unit that he might not defile himself. You see, Daniel was very much blessed among all those who've been under captivity. He was chosen as a person to serve God, to serve the king. And before he served the king, he had to receive certain type of training, equipment. And that training actually is Babylonian education. You know, education, you try to change your mindset. Use all different knowledge, try to give you different set of value, different set of thinking. And the first challenge for Daniel is whether he want to be different when it come to the culture which is different from what he believe in terms of eating and drinking. And he don't want to defy himself. You know, everybody want to eat good things, drink good things. That's most of people have been pursuing. And then Daniel was provided with these all things free. And he made a decision, I want to please God rather than my body. That was a very, very tough decision. And that decision itself already demonstrated that he has a certain degree of spiritual maturity. But the reason Daniel was able to sustain his decision to the end, you can see verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and the priest. So Daniel actually had few friends together with him. And then you look into 12. A priest that your servant for 10 days at that time give us vegetable to eat and water to drink. You see? That then give us, not give me, give us. So it's a group of people. Just like fasting prayer, right? If you only fast yourself, sometimes you feel very lonely. Oh, everybody go and eat. I want to eat too. But if a few friends, right? We have a certain purpose. And then we fast and pray together. And then you find out, you can do it more powerfully. The same thing. So then you had three friends together with him try to only eat the vegetable and drink the water. And after 10 days, even they look even better than those who consume delicious food. They show that a miracle happened because God make them more healthy. So this is the first example. Daniel has a friend to support him. Now, not only make the right decision, but stick on the right decision to the end. And then on, if we look into chapter 3, right, when the king had gave a decree to worship the image, and three of them, they just don't want to do it. Three of them, not only one. And then when they were thrown into the fire, three of them were thrown into the fire. So they have a companion, they have a friend. They have the same goal, share the same vision, same goal, encourage each other. And to go through this trial. But when they were thrown into the fire, what happened? People outside saw there was four persons. Oh, how come four persons? The angel, the messenger from God, walked together with them. Oh, so they were not harmed by the fierce fire. Oh, so it's very important. After we finish MVP or NYTS, try to develop certain type of spiritual support among each other through so convenient communication tool, communication method. It will help us. If you see anyone alone in your age, please try to be initiative. Use the love of Christ to approach them, to be friend with them, to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them. Sometimes a person feel alone, they will not initiate the calling, please help me, because they are so weak. So they are in the verge of being converted to the world. So if we know them, a very dangerous point, let us be more caring and loving and put our effort to be friend with them. And that is called love. So now, love doesn't mean you give some people $150. Most of people don't need that. Love means you are willing to support those who are weak, those who are facing the temptation, those who almost get addicted to some type of temptation. And we try to help them, pray for them, and that is love. And that is indispensable nowadays for us to live a spiritual, successful spiritual life. So we hope serving God, there are several ways. serving God by supporting others spiritually. This is also one way of serving God. And serving God by participating in some kind of project. Of course, this is also one way of serving God. But these two ways of serving God is not conflict with each other, not mutual exclusive. You can do this, you cannot do that, or you can do both. No. So, build up spiritual companionship. This is the first encouragement. The second one is try to build up a habit of spiritual cultivation. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daytime, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Look, the first thing Jesus did, get up early in the morning, went to a very quiet place, and he prayed. So this become a habit. Every morning he get up, the first thing is went to a long, very quiet place and pray. And once it become a habit, then you feel very natural to do it. If you don't do it, you feel something missing, because that's already become part of your life. So when you go back home, let us try to build up a habit of spiritual cultivation. And this is not only something routine. You don't feel anything, but because you have to do it, so you have to do it. No. You know, when we get up very early in the morning, our heart is so pure. There's no watery thing entangled in our heart. And when we read the Bible, the words of God are so clear, just impress us, print inside us. So when there is nothing worldly thing in our heart, when we pray to God, it's in between God and us. It's nothing hindered, no hindrance there. You talk to God, you feel your heart is so, just directly seems you are talking to God. And that experience is very wonderful. So we need to continue this kind of life of spiritual cultivation. Just like early in the morning, you have the teamwork and study the Bible, sharing, discussing, and then come here to pray. And this will be very wonderful. Let's look into the book of John. Before we look into John, come back to Mark chapter 1. Verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." So to Simon and Peter, early in the morning, the first thing they think about is what? Is work. Everybody looking for you. For what? Listen Jesus preaching and ask Jesus to they know them, pray for them. So to the disciple, the first thing come up their mind is work. But to Jesus Christ, the first thing come up the mind is, I have to talk to God. Now, I have to communicate with him first, maintain a good relationship with him first. So the first thing they did is different. So right now the email is very convenient, or almost a smartphone, right? There's a great temptation. First you get up and start to check email. Once you start to check email, your mindset already go into the world. unless it's really your job require you to do so. You don't do so, you are great harmful to your job. Otherwise, the first thing, the bad thing is reserve that kind of purity in the early morning for God. And after you've done this for a period of time, and you start to do your own business. John chapter 8, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1. Now it came to pass afterwards, then he went through every... that is Luke, John chapter 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives too. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So later part of verse 2 talk about the work of Jesus. But before that, what did he do? He went to the Mount of Olives all night, a very quiet place, and early in the morning and come back to the temple. So before he came to work, to serve, he spent time with God. When you serve, you need power, you need wisdom, you need guidance. And where do you get that? We spend time with God. So this morning I'd like to share with you two things. Right? The first, build up spiritual companionship to support each other in your spiritual journey. The second, build up a habit of spiritual cultivation every morning before we do anything. We still have 25 minutes, and let's come forward and pray.